I just wanted to ask really quick if these were results for the non-blocking rights with or without the scheduling improvement.
With the scheduling improvement.
With the scheduling improvement.
So everyone is able to look at the plot?
Hold on a sec.
Okay. Isn't he sitting next to you? Maybe in the same cubicle? No?
Not quite, because, well, we are pretty close, but today I'm working from home, so...
Oh,
not really.
Oh, I see, okay.
I just let him know, so probably he will join Skype at some point.
Okay,
I can see the graphs. So what are these execution time? Oh, I see.
Okay, there are a few things there. Non-blocking write seems to fail with some of the benchmarks when memory pressure is there. One of them is Perl Bench that non-blocking write I think dies before. That's why the execution times are so low.
That
where
one was DZIP2, right?
This guy, right?
Yes.
There was one from GCC that failed, but were you able to run that one again and it worked?
Come again?
Or does it? I saw in the you sent the an errors.txt, and I see that GCC has one failure. Were you able to run that one again and it worked, or is it just like an intermittent failure that happened once?
I really don't remember what happened with that one.
Okay.
I need to see it again.
And all the failures are with non-blocking, right? There's no failure
yes.
with vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
okay, so which ones are the ones with the error? All of them?
Well, Perl Bench is
Perl Bench.
Is one of the ones that dies.
That's why the execution time goes down after 250, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
These two, we knew that one always.
Okay.
These two messed up a lot, but yeah, that one we knew from before.
But there should
right.
be there should have been some problem with the HMMER as well, because...
No, on that one, and as well as SGN, the thing is that I tried several memory sizes,
uh-huh.
and for all of them, there was no memory pressure. At least for HMMER, I couldn't get the memory pressure. For SGN...
Yeah. Actually, if you see the difference, there is so much different.
But in SGN, the same happened, but when I went one step down, I was going 64 megs down, then the increase was exponential. It went for days of execution. So I haven't tried yet a middle point between the last and the previous.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to find something. So on these two, SGN and HMMR, the thing is that I couldn't get memory pressure,
okay.
I guess.
So it seems like a lot of workloads had some kind of problem. So I guess the question is, which ones worked fine? I mean, what graphs we can see that there are some real results, I guess.
Maybe the one that starts with X and Omnet. PP, I think.
Salam and
Omnet PP. I'm not sure. I need to check. Do you have the output of the error?
Yes.
I don't know. Super bench. Are those all? I think.
There is more. Oh, that's it.
Before.
Yeah. There is obviously a bug in non-blocking writes, because this data integrity error when back compressing. Obviously, we are corrupting some.
I wonder if maybe we're sort of. I don't know if maybe these benchmarks are mixing mmaps and normal writes and stuff like that. So could it be that maybe some stuff that we're doing through mmap faults or file map faults are
I think even in that case we should be fine. We are respecting the locking things happening inside the kernel, so that even that should be fine.
Okay.
But I guess the question is the CPU scheduler improvement does it take into account that you could also fault on mmap pages?
I see.
And does it take into account the fact that you have pages from the file system that are doing non-blocking writes? But actually,
I forgot about the mmap one.
Your file system, it doesn't matter. But I mean the write system call, it doesn't matter. But with the mmap, the CPU scheduler needs to deal with that a little bit carefully, right?
Okay. Well, I had some output logs from some tests I was running when debugging the CPU scheduling stuff, and I had completely forgotten about mmap, and that explains everything.
Okay.
But how I don't see how the mmap would affect things with the new scheduler.
Well, I mean the file map fault.
Okay.
Some of the faults that is file map fault. Does that cause a block on the process?
Yeah.
You mean in vanilla?
Yeah,
it does. Of course.
Okay, so that's why. Because I was checking the number of non-blocking writes that were happening and the number of times that we were checking to see if we were already scheduled as a non-blocking write process.
True, but as I understand, all the code you changed, so you changed the function do non-blocking write page?
I was fixing that recently, actually, and I guess that was some of the issues.
Yeah, because that function, do not block my page, is shared between the two code paths, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, in there we need to be careful, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I still don't understand what the issue is with Jesus' implementation, given that mmap faults can occur.
It's just that I was missing those faults when handling them I guess when I first wrote the code, I sort of just put it into do swap page or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess since I was just first testing to see if it would work.
I guess Raju's question is what is wrong with changing the code that is shared between the two?
The thing is, I didn't put it in the shared path. I did it before calling do non-blocking write page.
If anything, that would cause performance issues, but not
correctness,
not corruption, right?
Oh no, I wasn't talking about the corruption. It's because I had run some stuff because I was debugging the CPU scheduling, and I found that there were more non-blocking writes than were being put, and then I realized. And now that you mentioned those faults, I realize why.
Right. We were talking about two different things then.
Yeah. What are the two different things? Please tell me.
So the first thing is, I think Jesus was talking about the performance, that there are some cases where performance in unblocking write is worse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that the reason is because in his implementation of the CPU scheduler, he's not taking into account the non-blocking writes on file map.
Okay.
Right. So if a process is using FileMap a lot, then we are basically not using the scheduler, and we are falling back into the performance problem we had before. Right.
Right. So the speculation is that for the first case, the speculation is that if we do optimal CPU scheduling for mmapped pages for processes that fault on mmap pages, then we should see better performance.
Yeah.
I think that's a hypothesis right now.
Yes. And I guess that is subject to if the workload uses that path or not, right?
Yeah.
So that's something we don't know, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the second thing you were talking about?
The second problem is that I was looking at some memory corruption in the BCIP2, So I thought that had something to do with the code that Jesus had, but it seems like not. That's basically the summary.
So BZIP2 is the error output that Daniel sent? Is that what
yes.
you're looking at?
Yes.
I think we were getting the same output last time. I don't remember what the exact error is, but I think it was a data integrity error when decompressing.
Hmm.
Do you still have the old runs saved anywhere, Lewis?
Say that again, sorry?
Do you still have the data for the old runs for BZIP2? Because I think this is the same error we were getting before.
Okay. Actually, I do have it, but not at hand. I mean, and not easily accessible.
Okay.
So it's almost like I don't have it.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah, I see what you mean. I think I have seen that error before.
Yeah, because the times for the BZIP2 running here look like the sort of the times we were getting before.
Yeah. So, Daniel, all these numbers are with the Jesus scale looking?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we have any... without it, I guess we could try.
Yeah,
I was wondering if we you do have them, but not plotted. Or
no, that was my next step. The thing is that I'm still using the same version to try to get which are the ranges. There are some
okay.
of them that I still need to go further down to hit the the membrane
yeah,
pressure.
Because even in Zalan, I guess the scale is a little hard to tell. But
oh no, the thing is that GCC and Zalan only have three points. Three
yeah.
points.
Well,
they're missing
even at
two
the,
more.
Even at the low point of Zalan, we're doing, like, what, 2,000 seconds better? Something like that?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that it's missing the point in 300 something, at least,
oh, okay.
to draw well the
oh, I see. So those are 3 points?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
those were the first two
odd,
that I ran, and I ran
it. We'll see the difference.
With higher... granularity, I guess.
Right. So let's look at the Zalan benchmark, right? It seems like that's a favorable benchmark for us and there are no errors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As far as I know, no, there is no error.
And it's and
and this is another favorable for us.
No, it's not good
Which
for
one?
Us.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, actually, it seems like Zalang is the only
A-star.
One.
A-star.
Yeah.
A-star as well.
Yeah, I need to recheck
which
that
one?
One because I'm...
A-star?
I don't know
A-star.
If that one had an error.
Oh, A-star.
A-star had an error too?
I just need to check because I remember seeing an error of terminated, but I don't know if it's because it died or because I killed it because it was taking too long.
Okay.
So I just need to check if that was the case.
But if you have points here... Then those are valid points, right? I mean, if here, for instance, you had a point, then and you don't see an error in the list of things that...
Yeah, if I don't see an error and I have a point, it should
be a valid point. Okay. So the A-star and, what is that, Zalan benchmark seem to be pointing favorably for us.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what's going on with the S-Jang...
Well, I think there you...
SGN is the same thing, that there is no memory pressure.
Oh, okay.
There's no memory
oh,
pressure.
I'm looking, I just saw the scale now, and I was like, the difference is like 10 seconds.
I would say make all the plots starting from zero, so we can see the relative difference. If all the... If the difference is 1%, the lines will overlap. Right? You kind
yeah.
of know that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fine too, but in addition to that, if we have plots that start from zero, then it's much easier to understand what's going on.
Okay. I guess here, the ones that are not showing any kind of result as are SGN and H-Hammer or
yeah.
Hammer. Those two require some point with less memory.
Yeah.
The thing is that SGN, I'm pretty sure that with 192, it already takes... at least 1 or 2 days. The point, the data point that I have there is 256 megabytes. So I need to find something between 192 and 256 that it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense for us to go that deep, I guess.
Yeah, what I meant is that I need to find a point where we see how the performance drops, because you swap, there is swapping, but that it doesn't take 2 days.
I see.
Should be somewhere in between that range.
Okay. Yeah.
And for the other one, I went down to 128, and I didn't find any memory pressure or any degradation, I mean. So I need to go further down, but I don't know if I will hit the limit where the system doesn't boot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I see.
And Perl Bench, well, Perl Bench is dying for some reason.
It's what?
It dies.
It just crashes?
Yeah, it crashes. Mm. Because Vanilla hit the degradation, if you see the red light.
And then non-blocking rates just sort of tanks.
Hmm.
I mean, if those were real numbers, that would be good, but...
Yeah, it wouldn't be believable, though, because we are doing better than at 150 than at 350. Yeah, I think the first trend we need to see is monotonic, increase of performance as you increase memory, regardless of whether you're using vanilla or non-blocking weights.
Yeah.
If that, you don't see that, then there is something wrong.
Yeah, this SIP seems to have that, and I guess that's correlated to the corruption.
Yeah.
GCC, I think, probably ran fine.
Yeah,
at least from the stuff you plotted.
For those, I just need to find other data points.
Yeah, maybe GCC fails once in a while, but I only see one error, so...
Yeah, but how come the time of non-blocking run is high?
For GCC? It's probably because of the I.O. Cost.
Well, in the paper...
GCC is trying to do I.O. while it's already doing non-blocking rights.
The result in the paper was congruent with this.
Hmm.
Vanilla was doing better.
Consistent with this, yeah.
Yeah, consistent.
So, I think the GCC probably highlights the I.O. issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is good, right?
I was going to say...
That could even work as an experiment by itself once we fix the scale of the block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so... What about the other benchmarks? This is the DeCapo benchmark, right?
This is Spec CPU.
Spec CPU. Okay. What are the other benchmarks we talked about? The Spec SFS and there was one more, which is?
DeCapo
benchmark. DeCapo. Okay. But it's good that we're starting here so we can maybe iron out some of the issues, some of the problems. One of the problems that we've identified is the CPU scheduling not addressing the mmapped pages, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus, in your view, how complicated it is to do that?
It should be a pretty quick fix. Depends on if there's anything weird I need to handle in the code, but I don't think there should be.
Right.
We'll see. I'll try to do it today or tomorrow. Yeah, today and tomorrow I'll have some time to fix that.
Okay, yeah, that would be very helpful. And Daniel, in the meanwhile, if you can actually confirm that there are mmap faults.
Well, one thing I was going to see if we could do was to get the same runs, but for the non-blocking writes without the CPU scheduling.
Without the CPU scheduling, right? And we would, it would be good to see, have counts for how many non-blocking writes happen because of mmap faults.
I think those are in the logs.
Those are in the kernel output.
You can check that.
Okay, so if you can, plot those numbers as well, it would be good for us to correlate any change that we make with those numbers to understand what to expect.
Okay. Those numbers that are in the logs are the total for the second that just passed, right? I need to sum all of them to get the real number, right?
I believe so. Lewis can correct me if I'm wrong.
Sorry, what was that again?
If the numbers that are reported in the log are the ones that are the total from the past second or whatever interval you set, right?
Yeah, whatever interval you set. Actually, the interval is, there is an entry in PROC or somewhere.
Yeah, to change the
I think it's PROC, yeah, where you can change an interval.
Okay.
The clock number, right?
So right now it's every second. So to get the number, I need to add all of the entries in the log, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's an that's something that doesn't get printed for vanilla, or does it?
No. That's only the number of non-blocking rate.
Maybe
ones, I believe.
I think it should because I'm using the same kernel. I'm just deactivating
non-blocking
writes.
Oh, right.
So I will have the numbers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Actually, I think you have those numbers for vanilla as well once you disable non-blocking writes.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that. But I print so many stats that they might be there.
I just want to make sure that we are not introducing additional overhead because of all the printouts that.
I don't think so. I mean, it's every second.
If we are, at least it's a consistent overhead between vanilla and non-blocking writes.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an issue if we were running like a straight vanilla kernel that wasn't printing these out.
That's right.
But the other thing is that, I mean, it's every second and we're printing only 3 lines of stats every second, so it shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, I agree.
Especially since the
if we change the interval to something more fine-grained, then we might run into trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably. I wouldn't recommend anything. I guess finer grain than maybe a second or half a second.
So Daniel, I guess two things. One is the count, the statistics, and see, look at the statistics, see which ones are you think are important, and then plot maybe aggregate numbers. And the second is running the same experiments without the CPU scheduler improvement to see if we. If there is any difference because of the CPU scheduler improvement.
Okay.
Yeah,
what
I'd
like us
to check mostly that my code, it wasn't messing up Perl Bench, because I know BZIP 2 wouldn't run before, but I don't remember having any issues with Perl Bench.
Right. What I'd like us to do is to kind of, in our evaluation for the paper, present an evaluation of the various optimizations that we did. So starting with the bare bones non-blocking writes implementation, and then an addition of the CPU scheduler, and finally the addition of the IO scheduler.
Yeah, even before the scheduler, we have some more improvements like patch merging and also where's another one? Yeah, patch merging and something else, and then we can jump to.
Yeah, I think so, for instance, we also did the disassembly optimization, right? We had the single stepping and then the disassembly, one of those. I think it would be nice to kind of go progressively from the worst implementation to the best implementation.
Right.
It should be pretty straightforward to get all the results for the different implementations once I get the ranges.
Hmm.
But that's what is taking me time, because sometimes I just leave it the night.
Hmm.
And next day is in the same experiment. So
hmm.
I know that was too low, so I need to cut it.
Yeah.
Once I have the range, I just can run everything, and in a matter of a day, I will get all the results
hmm.
for one of the variants.
Well, some of those are really slow. For instance, the single stepping, if one of your experiments with all the optimizations takes 2 minutes, the single stepping might take 2 hours.
Oh.
Right? I mean, is that...
Actually, well, I don't know. I remember that it made a huge difference inside the VM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it made only a difference in the VM,
but in the real hardware, I don't think it makes such a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not much quicker because the VM doesn't expose some of the x86-specific stuff.
Hmm.
But if you look at the actual implementation of ptrace single step, it uses an architecture-specific way of doing a mode switch for one instruction that doesn't incur the cost of an actual context switch. So it sort of emulates the instruction in user space,
I see.
Just by doing something with EMMU, but it doesn't actually do the context switch, which is why it's faster.
Yeah, but it might have a difference because the even when we have a single step in, we have to do a lot of disassembly in order to remove some border cases.
That's true. But I was talking about the single stepping itself. It incurs a high cost in the VM because the VM doesn't have a way of easily doing what the native stuff would do on the actual processor.
I see. Okay.
But that makes sense. Okay, so that's very good too.
It's still an improvement we can talk about at least because if we're arguing that we should be doing this for, you know, consolidating VMs and stuff, then obviously disassembly is much better than single stepping.
Right.
But maybe we want to get some numbers from running the single step kernel versus the disassembly one.
Yeah.
In a VM, I should say.
Right. So Lewis, maybe you can work on the different configurations because you have a much better insight into the various optimizations we did.
Okay.
So can you come up?
I think they're all pretty much switches under, if you check proc non-blocking writes, pretty much like single step and disassembly and all that is just switches. So
that's fine. But I think what Ray is saying is that I should, you know, make a list probably of the things we want to try and in what order, right?
Okay.
Yeah. What we can, what we would potentially want to present in the paper. As a progressive process of, you know, improving non-blocking writes.
Right.
So that I think that would be a good story to tell as well and will make for a more stronger evaluation.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. So let's talk about next steps. Next steps are that Jesus is going to, you know, work on porting the CPU scheduler optimization for mmapped faults over the next couple of days or so. And then once we have that, then Daniel needs to, I guess, rerun some of these experiments. There are a couple of other things that we need to work on. One is the corruption issue that we are seeing and try to identify why that may be happening.
I also add that we, at some point we mentioned that today, is that have some kind of account how many times the MMAP non-blocking rate happened just to check if that's really a problem.
Right. So we'll have all the stats as well for each execution, right? So every time we have a plot like this, and we have two lines, we'll have to, we have another chart with all the stats, maybe two charts. Now you can figure out how to organize that data and present it. And then, so after, I think the corruption issue is important. But the risk there is we may never be able to find it.
Yeah.
Because I think in the past we looked at this a little bit, but perhaps not enough.
Yes.
I know Lewis and Jesus are busy with whatever, you know, their daytime job. So Daniel, you might have to spend time looking at the corruption issue as well to see where that might be coming from.
Sure, I can help. I can help you, you know, an hour or something. If you are completely lost, you know, first try to get some logs and try to see where things happen and so on. And then I guess we can arrange a meeting and see some code.
Okay,
that's one thing. And the second important thing is now that we have like a very good benchmark that showcases the IO problem, which is GCC. We take that benchmark and see if what kind of IO optimization will improve the performance of that benchmark. So we can just focus on that one benchmark because it gives us a very good test case for any IO optimization we perform. and we had to start working on the IO optimization. So what, Lewis, what are you recommending here? What should we focus on and prioritize?
I think we should first try to see if the real problem in the current experiments is the Nmap thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we should definitely focus on the storage part. You know, try to solve the storage issue.
Mm-hmm.
And third, I think, is the bug of the memory corruption. I think that those three things are really important.
Okay. So Mmap, and I, what I want to do is to do the Mmap first and see if the GCC results hold. Because it's possible that with the Mmap optimization, the GCC results change.
Sure.
Yeah, I would run it with the CPU scaler code. So that
right.
shouldn't be a problem.
No, it might, right? Because in the even in the old non-blocking writes, we don't handle the I/O problem.
No, not the I/O problem. I'm talking about the CPU scheduling problem at this point.
Okay.
We are not yet sure if CPU scheduling helps GCC or not. We don't know that.
Right.
Yet. Until we address the Mmap path for CPU
right.
scheduler.
You also need to check if the GCC is multi-threaded, because the new scheduler only makes sense in multi-threaded applications, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it would be, but I may be wrong. I mean, I don't see how the performance can be worse if the process is not multi-threaded. I may be missing something basic here, but I mean, if I see non-blocking write performance worse than vanilla, then I'm thinking that it's probably because of the multi-threading.
Right.
Because with non-blocking writes, we just use spare CPU cycles.
Right.
Anyway, I think the first thing is to wait for Jesus's Mmap implementation or CPU scheduler implementation for Mmap pages, and then rerun these experiments.
Okay.
In parallel, I would say, start looking at the corruption issue. Or, I don't know. Lewis, what do you recommend Daniel to do?
I think one simple task is to look at the counters of how many times the Mmap non-blocking write happened.
Okay.
I think that should be a simple task. Then I think it's a good idea to go ahead with the debugging of the BCP.
Okay.
Yeah. I still need to rerun this with the other thing and get the graph for the SFS.
And I think another good thing would be to understand a little bit more about the benchmarks, what they do. Do they create multiple threads? Do they do I/O? I mean, do they use the file system, or do they use Mmap and all that?
Okay.
I think right now we have very little insight into what the workloads do. Okay. All right. So I think we know what the next steps are. So Daniel, do you have any questions for Lewis or Jesus?
No, for now.
Okay.
Yeah, you can always send an email or, something like that.
I'm usually pretty quick to respond by email.
Okay, great. So we'll meet again same time. Well, today is Thursday. We can meet on Tuesday or Thursday of next week.
Sure.
What do you prefer?
Same for me.
I think you need some time to work on the data, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, would you have enough time if we meet on Tuesday?
Maybe better. It's Thursday.
Thursday is better. Okay. Thursday is good for both of you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's meet Thursday. And in the meanwhile, Jesus, let us know what you find.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.